Welcome to Shortwave, a PBS NewsHour podcast on foreign events that have an impact close to home. I'm NewsHour foreign affairs and defense reporter-producer PJ Tobia. The African elephant could be extinct within a decade. Between 2010 and 2012 alone, 100,000 African elephants were poached, killed for their tusks. That's a dead elephant every 15 minutes. Much faster than they can reproduce. Much of the blame is usually pointed at the world's largest consumer of elephant tusks, China. But what about us? Is there a market for ivory in the United States?
We do have a major, major market here in the United States. Some reports have placed it as high as the second largest in the world.
Peter LaFontaine is a campaign officer for the International Fund for Animal Welfare, the IFAW.
Without reforming our system, it's really hard to point the finger at China, which, on paper, has potentially better rules than we do.
It's impossible to know the exact size of the U.S. ivory market, but over the last decade, studies consistently show thousands of ivory pieces for sale in cities across the U.S., with the biggest numbers in San Francisco and New York. If you're a consumer, it's also impossible to know whether that ivory is even in the country legally or not, especially when purchasing ivory on a site like Craigslist. More on that later. You don't have to be an animal lover to care about the scale of the U.S.'s illegal ivory market. Terrorism experts say that Americans who buy ivory may actually be funding transnational terrorist groups.
Wildlife trafficking is really the fourth largest illicit financing network and economy in the world. And ivory is, you know, exploded in terms of value.
That's Juan Zarate on The Daily Show last December. We have him on the NewsHour regularly, too, because he was a deputy national security advisor for combating terrorism during the George W. Bush administration.
China is a major demandeur for the products,
right.
Certainly the U.S. as well. And what you see is these groups, Al-Shabaab movement, which is connected to Al-Qaeda in Somalia,
right.
The Janjaweed militia, responsible for a lot of the atrocities in Darfur, they've all tapped into this network and to this economy and are profiting from it. And so this is really where our national security meets our natural security.
IFAW's LaFontaine agrees.
It's worth more than gold on the black market. And so the sheer scale of the illegal trade, which is tens of billions of dollars a year when you're talking about all illegal wildlife trade, it makes it attractive to these international criminal syndicates and paramilitary-style poachers. This is not your grandfather's poacher. This is not your grandfather's criminal organizer.
You might be surprised to learn that one place Americans are buying ivory is the same place they buy used lawnmowers and sell old futons, Craigslist.
Ivory collectibles such as netsukis, which are small ivory carvings in a Japanese or Chinese style, canes, pipes, things like that. Other stuff that we found included furniture, knickknacks, musical instruments, basically the range of consumer products.
The IFAW just completed a survey of the online swap meet in 28 cities. They found hundreds of ivory products for sale, all in a city near you.
Our investigators searched for postings on 28 of Craigslist's 420 city sites over the course of 5 days, and we only looked for products that included the words elephant, tusk, ivory, and several others like mammoth, and then tracked 522 postings that were ivory, or that we suspected were ivory, and related wildlife products. There were some rhino horn items, there was narwhal, there were African warthog tusks, things like that. And between those postings, the ads offered about 615 items, and the list price exceeded $1.4 million.
He says that extrapolating how much ivory is for sale over Craigslist's 420 city sites is tough. But
even if only a small percentage of those items are actually bought and sold, you're still looking at a multi-million dollar trade potentially across the entire site.
IFAW lodged a complaint with Craigslist, and the company changed their policy.
Their policy had stated previously that sellers couldn't advertise animal parts. Obviously, every piece of ivory comes from a dead elephant, but we asked the company to explicitly prohibit ivory sales too, because you'd be surprised how many people just don't make the connection between the living, breathing animal and an ivory tusk.
Still, LaFontaine says enforcing the policy won't be easy. Ivory dealers can just leave the word ivory out of their Craigslist posting. Regulating the sale of ivory is tough for everyone, not just Craigslist. Part of the problem is that the laws surrounding ivory sales are notoriously complex. Here's a simplified version of these regulations. A U.S. ban on importing ivory went into effect in 1990, with an exception for antiques. The trouble is, telling the difference between a piece of ivory harvested in 1992 and 1892 is nearly impossible, even for experts. You can also still import what are called sport-hunted trophies. These are tusks of elephants you killed yourself while on safari. On top of this, most states don't even have laws regulating ivory sales. LaFontaine obviously thinks this is a problem.
Unfortunately, what we're still left with is sparse regulation of domestic ivory sales at the state and national level. Once it's in the country, you can pretty much do whatever you want with it.
Even someone who knows the import laws can be fooled.
Say a tourist goes over to an African country and buys something at a local market. That oftentimes gets smuggled back into the United States or simply brought back inadvertently. And it's very difficult to tell whether things like that are from a recently poached elephant or if they're a legitimate antique. And then you have people like Victor Gordon.
Victor Gordon is an antique dealer in Philadelphia. He worked with a network of poachers in West Africa to smuggle over 1 ton of ivory products into the U.S. Federal investigators say he applied paints and finishes to the tusks to make the ivory appear older and not from recently killed elephants. He was arrested. In late 2012, he pled guilty to smuggling charges and sentenced to 30 months in federal prison. He was also hit with $150,000 in fines. 8 co-conspirators were also charged, mostly for their work making connections with poachers in West Africa. Those connections helped get the ivory to U.S. buyers. In November of 2013, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service crushed 6 tons of illegal ivory, worth millions of dollars. William Woody, the chief of law enforcement for the service, was there. He was recorded for a Wildlife Service video standing before a massive rock crusher. He held an intricately carved 5-foot-long elephant tusk.
This is contraband to me. This is ivory that was smuggled into the United States. It was seized by either our agents or our inspectors at the ports. And it is very beautiful carved, but it's worth more on a live elephant.
I asked Fontaine about this in regard to his organization's Craigslist investigation. I mean, it's possible that some of the ivory his team identified were legal antiques, maybe even somebody's family heirloom.
Every single tusk that you see on there did come from a dead elephant at some point, and most likely was poached or was shot by a trophy hunter. There is some ivory that comes from elephants that died naturally. It would be hard to say what items on Craigslist matched up with that description, but in recent years, poaching for elephants is by far the leading cause of mortality. It's exceeding the birth rate. It's hitting near record highs.
He has a point. Elephants, after all, are remarkable creatures. Former NewsHour science reporter Rebecca Jacobson once wrote that elephants can remember the locations of watering holes hundreds of miles apart. They can recognize themselves in a mirror and even use tools. They can break sticks into switches to swat flies and use chewed up bark to plug drinking holes. Rebecca wrote something else, too. She wrote that elephants mourn their dead, that when one of their own family dies, they cry and will stay beside the body for days. They'll even mourn over carcasses of unrelated elephants. They stroke the bones with their trunks and lay dirt or leaves over the bodies. Poachers shoot these animals and saw the tusks off of their faces with chainsaws, sometimes while they're still alive. They poison water sources with cyanide, killing hundreds of elephants at a time. Some researchers think that there are only about 250,000 elephants left in Africa. In the 1970s, there was 1.6 million. That's it for Shortwave. Shortwave is a production of PBS NewsHour. Sarah Just, executive producer. Justin Kenny is NewsHour's senior producer for foreign affairs and defense. Travis Daub is creative director. Vanessa Dennis created the graphics for Shortwave. The theme music was composed by Jeremy Gibson. Jenny Martyr and Margaret Myers edit Shortwave's online content. Natalie Boyd offered production assistance. Transcripts by Marina Lopez. Special thanks for editorial oversight and inspiration to Hari Srinivasan. I'm your host and producer, PJ Tobia. I hope you'll join us next time for Shortwave.